through the Alaska Airlines studios.
This is Tom, Jake, and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacy Ross.
This hour of Tom, Jake, and Stacy is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Seattle. We've got some fun stuff planned for you later today. Of course, we've got Cardinals, our weekly game show between Tom and Jake. We'll see if Jake can bounce back and redeem himself. Technically, Tom won last week on a technicality. Congratulations, Tom. Still proud of you. Nailed it. You did it. I got some good questions in this one. So you guys are going to want to play along, too. You can text your answers in, as always, to the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line. We do have a fun segment planned for right now, though. This is how it's going to work. What we're going to do is we're going to connect out with the guys at 98.7 Arizona Sports, Dan Bickley and Vince Murata. You guys are going to love them. They know a ton about the Arizona Cardinals because they've been covering this team forever. They're a great time, and we're gonna simulcast and have a roundtable discussion about this team. Now, guys, I hope that both of you are also expecting. We're gonna let them know what's gonna happen this Sunday night, that the Seahawks are gonna win, unless you're Tom. Then they're going to tie.
What? Yeah, but that means I'm going to be hated by both sides.
No.
Nobody's going to want me on their team.
But what if you're right? Then you look like a genius, Tom.
Yeah, but still nobody wants that, even if I'm right.
Like, but that's like fault. That's right. It's like it's a weird flex, you know? I predicted a tie, but hey. I mean, it would be very impressive. I would start to think differently, Tom, and I would start to have you pick out lottery numbers for me.
Now, I think that Jake and I are both going to predict a win here, and we'll see what Vince and Dan have to say about it when we go there in just 1 second. I'm really, really excited to hear what they have to say. It's going to be a good one. Weird stuff happens. Fun stuff is going to happen. It's prime time. Let's go. We'll take you guys there right now.
Joining forces with 710 ESPN in Seattle, Tom, Jake, and Stacy. Bickley and Murata here in Phoenix on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. A big hello to everybody. How's everybody doing today?
We're good. How are you guys?
Doing good. Getting ready for this this annual trip from Seattle to Glendale and hoping for different results in this neck of the woods.
I'm wondering if you guys are you guys, you know, worried? Are you guys confident? How are you guys feeling, especially when you guys are always touting that you got Russell Wilson 2.0?
Confident is never really the feeling I have. I can't speak for you, Bick. It's not the feeling that I have when Seattle comes to town. Now, later in the season when the Cardinals go up to CenturyLink, that's confidence because they play well there.
All right, let me answer it this way. One of the great things about this quote-unquote rivalry is that it's been so ridiculously unpredictable. The Seahawks have come down here and acted like they've owned our stadium, and then in some weird retort, the Cardinals have been able to go up there and beat the Seahawks in Seattle, as you guys have witnessed. The difference is, maybe for the first time in, I don't know, 8 years, we are not inundated with 12s in Arizona right now. So my question is, do you guys find your fan base as insufferable as we do?
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Our fan base is insufferable as you do? I don't think so. Wait a minute, but that does raise an interesting question. And I don't want to be flip about a serious matter, but
be flippant. It's all good.
Well, I mean, just I don't know how many fans are going to be allowed in the stadium here, but is COVID maybe a good thing in that it prevents Seattle fans from being in that building?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm actually saying that. And the reason why I say that they're so insufferable, they always wear the lime green jerseys when they come to the game.
Yeah, we're coming loud and ready to take over.
Here's the thing.
That's exactly it.
I don't actually like lime green as a color, but I have decided in this moment to love it just to stick it to you. Like, from now on, my favorite color is that action green color.
I would expect nothing less. But
right. It's not even lime green.
No, but
action green.
Because we get it done. Because we bring the action.
I want to say this. I know that the fans who come from Seattle to come to Arizona, they think that we're the most lame-o sports town anywhere because we allow them to take over our stadium.
Well, don't say that. You guys have a Chili's, too. I mean, it's a fun time out there.
Oh. Okay, now, hold on. We'll get back to that in a minute. But it's one of those things where you have to understand we don't have teams that have given us a Hallmark championship. You know what I mean? We don't have that kind of communal pride that you guys do, but it's not because we're bad sports sports fans. It's because we have horrible sports teams. That's what the difference is.
Which makes it not better at all.
Right.
Which doesn't make it better at all. But you guys have had different moments, right? You guys have different moments. The Diamondbacks have been good at different, you know, in certain spikes. You've had the Arizona Cardinals who have been good in different moments. And it does seem to me that you look at Cliff Kingsbury, you look at Kyler Murray, you look at what this Cardinals organization has done so far and really has surprised me, guys. But I would love to get your take on it. Do you think that this group that they've put together has the chance to build into another competitor, legit competitor for the NFC West and create that rivalry again?
Yeah, I think we're still waiting for what was advertised on the offensive side with bringing in somebody who was advertised as an offensive genius in Cliff Kingsbury. There's been glimpses. There hasn't been that sustained success or explosiveness offensively. We've seen that also with Kyler Murray. I do have confidence that they will build into that. And the recent wave of confidence, and I know it was only against the Cowboys and the Jets, but the defense has looked a lot better than it did last year under the Cardinals coordinator, Vance Joseph. If they can continue that against a really formidable Seahawks team this week offensively, I think that's going to go a long way in convincing many people here in the Valley that, okay, the Cardinals, they are building towards something.
So on Fridays, we do Bold Take Friday, right? We've trademarked that. Nobody else in the history of sports radio has ever
Don't
done anything
it. We'll
like
see
that.
You.
Right.
You'll be hearing from our lawyers.
Right. So in that building, though, we've got the Super Bowl 49 interception at the goal line. We've got the 6-6 overtime tie, missed field goals. Richard Sherman tears his Achilles. Earl Thomas flips off his own head coach. Yep. I'm just curious, what could possibly happen to top any of that?
That is such
game?
A great question. I mean, that's the whole thing, too. I mean, Carson Palmer, when he went up to Seattle, this rivalry does such strange things to people's emotions. All right. Remember Marshawn Lynch, belly flopping backwards into the end zone, grabbing himself in a special place just to kind of taunt Arizona, right?
Carson Palmer, remember that.
Of course you do. Carson Palmer is one of the most mild-mannered competitors you'll ever meet. And beating you guys in Seattle made him lose his mind. And he did the same gesture to you guys. Remember that? He was fined a lot of money for it.
He claimed he was motioning to a friend who was in the stands, but nobody was buying
Of course.
All right, here's the weird thing that can happen is at the end of the game, regardless of the outcome, the NBC cameras capture the two quarterbacks at midfield, helmets off, and somehow they get in a back-to-back position, and we find out that Kyler Murray is actually taller than Russell Wilson.
Wow.
Whoa! Hey, that
Careful.
Is a bold
This is when
take.
You cross now, the line.
It is when you cross the line.
Look, we've
you
got two great height. Petite quarterbacks playing each other. It's going to be a great night.
The two best in the game now, right now.
It's true, and how often are we going to hear that during the broadcast of the comparisons of their baseball careers and their backgrounds and this and that? It's probably going to be the entire time, I would imagine. But it is fun when you look at these two guys play. I mean, we talked about it earlier in the week, just the evolution of the position and how it's come about. I mean, you look at these two guys, and they have really changed a lot of the evaluations of the position.
Yeah, we were just having that discussion earlier today, too, that without Russell Wilson finding the success and sustained success he's had since coming into the league in 2012, there's not Kyler Murray to talk about right now. But that is the one example that kind of Well, in addition to the Cardinals passing on Russell Wilson back in the draft back in those days. But that's the one example we have that kind of empowered Steve Keim to make that bold move at quarterback. And, you know, the Cardinals can look at Russell Wilson for that reason.
I want to get back to what Stacey said about us only having Chili's.
No, you guys have Applebee's, too. I'm so sorry.
Oh, yeah, my mistake.
Hey, this is say what you will. That's eating good in the neighborhood.
Absolutely is. Absolutely. You got amazing, amazing steaks. If that's what you're into for, you know, under $10, I mean, that's a bargain.
This is what makes it difficult to do these things with people in Seattle, because I will readily admit that your city is spectacular. I love almost everything about it, but at least we do not stick bubble gum on a wall and call it art.
Look, it's very abstract. It's new age. You have to think outside the box a little bit with that one. I mean, hey, it's creative.
The hard part is friendly.
Secondarily, if I'm going to go and buy some fresh fish at a market, I don't want people throwing it around like it's a game and a sport before you buy it. Like they do at the fish market.
I got to get to the bottom of that one.
And really, that's all I got. That's all I got, because everything else about Seattle really is elite to me. Yeah. So it's hard to do these things.
I want to focus on that one. Tom, Jake, and Stacy joining Bickley and Murata here, a little Seattle-Phoenix crosstalk. Do you guys cringe when you're watching the television broadcast and they have to go to the obligatory fish throwing
shot? 1,000%. It happens without fail every single time.
You can't also forget the Nirvana soundtrack,
'90s
soundtrack. Yes. It's literally like the only claim to fame that we have, apparently.
Yeah, that's it.
But here's the thing, though. At least we have like a music scene or had a music scene at one time. Who's Arizona or Phoenix's most famous musical?
We've got Jimmy Eat World, the great band.
Hello.
Alice Cooper.
The Gin Blossoms.
Oh, Tom, you weren't expecting that. They did hit you with some fire.
Jordan Sparks.
As one of the world's biggest Alice in Chains fans, the original iteration, we can't compete with you guys in music. I went through your airport once, and there was a display case dedicated to Jimi Hendrix. I'm like, you can't compete with this.
Yeah,
and
also,
you can't compete with this.
We're just jealous in Phoenix, as we didn't figure out how to burn coffee and then charge twice as much for it.
Thank you, Aaron. That was good.
All right, before we wrap this up, from the Seattle side, who wins this game?
I mean, we got to be pretty obvious with this one. I'm saying Seahawks. It'll be a tough match for the defense, especially against Arizona in the red zone. I think we're all in agreement it might be a low-scoring one for Seattle, but I'm going to speak for all of us, and I'll say Seattle wins by, like, a field goal.
I say the Cardinals are going to win 112-9.
Oh, boom!
That's a bold take.
I don't believe that. In fact, quite to the contrary. I've been saying here, for all the people who have been complaining about how bad Seattle's defense is, your defense came up with two game-winning plays against the Patriots and the Vikings. So I'm a little freaked out by that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think it's
going to be a tie.
No, anything but.
How dare you?
He says that, and he's looking forward to it, you guys. He's looking forward to it.
You don't understand. It's impossible how we can go forward this week, and Tom predicts a tie.
He's got a sixth sense of humor.
22-22.
All right. Well,
thanks, guys. It was fun.
Thank you guys so much.
Enjoy the game. Tom, Jake, and Stacy from 710. ESPN in Seattle, our sister station up there.
All right, and that was Dan Bickley and Vince Murata from 98.7 Arizona Sports. You guys, they were a great time. I like that it just turned into us trash talking. That's all I want to do all the time between fellow NFC West foes.
You know, the one thing I wanted to ask them, and we didn't have time, I was thinking about it as we were exiting there, is whether or not they would want Antonio Brown down there. We really don't know the other teams that are, like, in on him. We only know the Seahawks. It could be Arizona. It could be anybody. So my assumption is that any market, any sports radio show across the country could be talking about the possibility of Antonio Brown coming to their city. And, I mean, they're a team that could use him, certainly as much, if not more, than Seattle, you know.
They could, and it would be interesting to get their perspective on it, right? Not only for themselves as a team, but also how the reaction would be if Seattle was to get Antonio Brown, and what that would do to the thought process of every other fan base, you know, in the NFC West. But guys, I have to tell you, that was such a fun segment. Love
that
those guys.
Fun.
I'd love to do that again. We'll have to do it next time around. But you know, that's just some good old quality fun, right?
You know
there.
What stands out to me too about it? Two things. Number one, I can't defend the gum wall. When he said that, I was like, I don't have anything for this. I'm just going to do radio silence right now, literally. The second part is it is so interesting to hear from another NFC West team that I think is actually a pretty stellar team. If they're a little inconsistent, but they've got some young guys, so it makes sense that they're a little bit nervous. And I think that that's how every NFC West team looks at each other, is this team could pop off at any moment and win. And you have two teams, the Arizona Cardinals and the Rams, that like could very well be undefeated also. Obviously, they aren't there, and some of those are self-inflicted mistakes. But this remains, I think, despite the records right now, especially for San Francisco, the toughest division in football.
You know, yeah, and I fully agree with that statement. The other thing that stood out to me was how they talked about, one, their team's not being good in that town, but two, that they haven't had a chance to have a sustained, legitimate rivalry. And I was thinking about that, and we have some really good, strong rivalries here in Seattle sports just in general. But when you talk about the Seahawks, there are quite a few rivalries that you could point out. I mean, not just within this division. The Minnesota Vikings, the Green Bay Packers. I mean, I don't know if it's just the great games. Yeah, the Panthers, just the Patriots, the great games that have played between all of those teams. Or if it's the fact that Seattle sports fans, we just know how to carry a grudge really well.
We're good at it.
If we get beat by it any time, I mean, we might be pretty good at it and always wanting to redeem that. But I thought that was something else that stood out to me as well.
All right, let's get to Four Down Territory.
This is Four Down Territory
with Tom, Jake, and Stacy.
We live for moments like this. Time for us to step up and take it.
Have to. What do the Seahawks have to do in order to beat the Cardinals, Jake?
Well, what they have to do is they have to start fast. I can't say that enough. They have to start fast. They have to come out of the gates ready to go and ready to swing. The reason why I say that is because the last game that these two teams played against each other in CenturyLink Field, the Cardinals came out and they were the tone setter. You got to remember, the Seahawks also did well on their first drive. They went down and scored. But after that, the Arizona Cardinals took over that game. There were a lot of injuries that were sustained on the Seahawks. It was just a weird game overall for this group. But they have to start out fast. They have to control the game early. And if they can do that, I think that they win this game pretty handily, pretty successfully. But if they can't, if Arizona is believing that they are in the game defensively, offensively, they are feeling themselves, that's going to be a really difficult position for the Seahawks. They are going to be in for a fight for a full 60 minutes at that point.
Second down. Red zone, always important, Stacy, but why is it especially important to play great defense there in this game?
Because in this game, and we've mentioned this already, but I can't stress it enough, you've got two of the best red zone offenses in football. And I'm not talking like both in the top five. I'm talking number one, number two. This is as far as touchdowns only, so excluding field goals. Touchdowns only, Seattle is number one in red zone scoring at 89% of trips inside the 20s. Arizona right there at number two with 80%. Here's the problem. The Arizona defense is number two in limiting points per game. So for the most part, they've been able to keep other offenses from scoring in the red zone. Seattle's defense is middle of the pack, kind of like bottom half, pretty solidly. It's not like their worst, you know, aspect of their defense, but it's not where they want it to be. It's not even close where they want it to be. So it feels like something has to give in the red zone. Is it going to be Russell Wilson in Seattle sticking to what they're great at and scoring and being efficient, especially inside the 20s? Or is it going to be Arizona's offense having their way? We'll find out Sunday.
Third down. Will the Seahawks have a specific game plan to try to limit Kyler Murray's scramble ability?
Well, they certainly do need to think about it. And there's really two ways that you can try and limit it. One, you can try and limit it by having a strategic rushing plan. What I mean by that is defensive linemen sometimes will try and suffocate the pocket around the quarterback and keep their lanes, focusing more on keeping your lane and holding your gap, almost like a run responsibility that you would have in run defense, rather than you know, trying to do a special move that would take you outside of your pass rushing lane, and that oftentimes is going to limit your ability to get sacks on the quarterback, but it also eliminates a big scramble from a quarterback. We saw Bill Belichick practice this with his defensive line earlier in the year in practice to try and prepare themselves for Russell Wilson. Didn't work out for them very well, but that was clearly what the game plan was. It was to try and maintain your rush lanes and not get out of control where you're opening a very easy lane for Kyler Murray to step in. The second option is to actually assign a defensive player to spy Kyler Murray, to mirror him all across the field. So to me, I think that that is probably the most likely situation. Who would be that person to do that? Well, I think that you could have somebody from the secondary. You could have somebody at the DB level that could do that, that play that spy responsibility. Bobby Wagner could do that at different points in time. And then the wild card here could possibly be Shaquem Griffin. Shaquem Griffin could possibly play that spy role with his legitimate sub-4.4 speed and have him mirror Kyler Murray across the field. So those are two different styles how to limit a truly great scramble quarterback, and we'll see which one they try to implement this Sunday.
Fourth down. What Seahawks players need to step up in this contest, Jacob?
The players that need to step up in this contest. If it's not going to be my bold take and Snacks Harrison is not going to be activated for this game, then to me, the guy on the defensive line that has to come up big is going to be Puna Ford. Puna Ford as your one technique, Jaron Reed as the two interior defensive linemen, they need to play well in order to limit and slow down Kenyon Drake in this running attack. Now, on the offensive side of the ball, I truly believe that this is a week where Tyler Lockett has to come up big. He's been quiet the last couple weeks. Doesn't mean he hasn't been effective, but DK Metcalf has gotten a lot of the big plays down the field, and I think that teams are going to start to really, you know, favor him and try to really eliminate his effect on the game down the field. So that's where you could see Tyler Lockett be the beneficiary, and I think that he's the offensive X factor in this one.
Interesting. Maybe some stuff to remember there, you guys, for the upcoming quiz. We have Cardinals at 2:30.
Oh, no.
That's all I'm saying. Some good factoids in there from Jake and myself. That might come in handy for you.
Well, wait a minute. He better not get questions.
Well, Tom,
about
these
questions.
Well, wait a minute. These questions are randomized, so we'll see who gets what question. There are throughout our show. And if anyone doesn't know, we play a game show every single Friday. It's quick. It's just 8 minutes or so where Tom and Jake face off to see who knows more about the upcoming opponent. It's really fun. You guys can participate too. Text in your answer, 710-710. We're all going to learn more about this week's opponent and specifically this matchup. There's stuff that we're going to be talking about throughout the show today that'll come back up during that segment. Some stuff will be history, but there's also going to be stuff where we've been talking about red zone and offenses. It's going to be pretty useful information to have. And that's all I'll say about that. If you missed the show, you can also listen to it via the 710 Sports app powered by Dubin Law Group. Tom, don't look so scared. You've got this. There are questions in here you're going to really like. All you history buffs, you're going to like a few of these.
I'm making sure that I have the proper information to study before we get into the game.
Well, you know,
I just don't want to embarrass
really
myself.
You won't.
I don't care if I lose.
You won't.
I just don't want to embarrass myself.
The one thing that really does scare me is the history stuff, because that's Tom's wheelhouse.
Yeah.
I have lost, and I've almost lost it two times where Tom has got a chance to rattle off stadium names or who played in what era, like all these different things. So those questions are the ones that usually get me.
Look, Jake, you were born in 2007, so it makes sense that this is something you wouldn't be able to like nail down all the time. I think it's totally fine. It is Bold Take Friday, trademark. We're coming up with the halftime show next, but we're also going to get back to our bold takes. So if you have not already, listen, send us your bold take for Sunday night's game. Not for the season, although if you want to send it and it's interesting enough, I might read it. But specifically for this Sunday night's game, your bold take 710-710. That's the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line. We'll get back to that in the halftime show next.
It's time for the halftime show.
The half is not over. There's 3 seconds on the clock.
Revisiting the biggest stories of today at the midpoint of the show.
The halftime show. It's not easy.
Now, here's Tom, Jake, and Stacey.
It's Full Take Friday on Tom, Jake, and Stacey. That means we want you to come with your hottest, spiciest takes. 710-710. Send those into the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line. We'll remind you of ours right now. Jake, what was your bold take for today?
My bold take was a boomer bust situation, that the reinforcements are coming, that Snacks Harrison is going to get activated at the end of the week, because Pete Carroll was talking about how he was just looking svelte. So, you know, he may be joking. I'm not sure. But,
I know.
I'm going to go with that he was being honest, you know, about the 350 pounds of Snacks Harrison being svelte. So he's going to help bolster this Seahawks run defense. The Arizona Cardinals are coming into this matchup ranked the fourth best rushing attack in the NFL with 161 yards per game. With Snacks Harrison in the lineup, that means Jaron Reed, Bobby Wagner, and KJ Wright become more active, leading to a dominating performance, limiting Kyler Murray and Kenyon Drake and the Arizona Cardinals to under 100 yards rushing. That's
all right.
My bold take.
Tom, I both love and hate
yours. Just trying to be funny.
Yes, yeah. I do.
Yes, yes, 100%.
Pete was just trying to be with the svelte thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay, you know, okay. 350 pounds looking svelte, you know.
Low scoring game for the Seahawks offense. I think they're going to try to avoid a shootout with Kyler Murray and the Cardinals. They're going to maybe run the ball a little bit more than they have here. Now, whether or not they do that successfully, that's kind of up in the air. They still got to go out there and try. But I think they're going to end up with a point total, probably less than 27 points. It's a divisional game. Watching that game last night between the Giants and the Eagles, it reminds me that, you know, strange things tend to happen. Weird comebacks, penalties, whatever they may be. Injured players, key players. I think we're getting a tie. 22 all, people.
All right, Tom. 512, hey guys, my hashtag BTF, I love that, by the way, is that this will be the turning point for the Seattle Seahawks defense. I think they'll finally blow a team out 40-23 and contain Mr. Murray and make big plays. I keep wanting that to happen, 425. I keep hoping it will. Or 512. Where's that? I don't know if it's coming this week, though. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Blowout?
A blowout? By 20, essentially. Yeah.
Yeah, a blowout. The way I could see it happening is when you look at the Arizona Cardinals. They played the San Francisco 49ers early, and that was a very impressive win. But when you look at everything else on their schedule, Washington Redskins, New York Jets, Dallas Cowboys, those aren't exactly impressive wins on the resume. They lost to the Detroit Lions. They lost to the Carolina Panthers. And so Arizona hasn't necessarily been tested since week one. And when they have faced a decent team in Detroit and Carolina, outcome wasn't very good for them. So I don't hold off of that just yet.
From the 425, bold take Blue Friday. I thought I'd add the blue in there. Love it. Thanks. Reed will have 2 sacks. That's awesome. One being a forced fumble. And the safety who got promoted from the practice squad, something Randall, will have an interception. Boom, hot gang. I mean, first of all, the reason I love this, I think you're talking about, well, he's not talking about Ryan Neal, right? He's talking about
what I thought he was talking about.
Because there's been a couple guys promoted.
Oh, Demarius Randall.
Okay. Randall. The Demarius Randall will have, why not? You know what? Why not? I like it. I'll allow it. I will allow it.
Speak it into existence.
All right, let's get to our next story. All right, we had a simulcast with 98.7 Arizona Sports. It was Bickley and Murata. They were awesome. We loved them. Such a great time. One thing that stuck out from our talk with them, though, was that they said, we've got to be honest with you guys. facing the Seahawks is kind of scary. Like, I'm kind of scared facing the Seahawks. Ironically, that's something that Mike Salk said with us when he joined us half an hour before that at 12:30. And I don't think that he's alone in feeling that. I think there are plenty of Seahawks fans, plenty of Cardinals fans that are looking at this game thinking anything could happen. So here's my question for all of us. I'm going to throw it to you guys first. What scares us about the Cardinals, and what should scare the Cardinals about the Seahawks?
What scares me about the Arizona Cardinals is their defense and Buda Baker. If Buda Baker is making plays, flying around, and having an impact on the game, it's anybody's ball game. He is the heart and soul of their team. He is the leader. He is the energizer. And if he's making a big impact, then that means that they're, you know, having a pretty decent amount of success. So that, to me, is the one aspect that concerns me.
Yeah, it feels like they have more playmakers on their defense. Jamal Adams, did we just find out that he's not going to be, he's been ruled out officially?
He has. We'll get to that during the timeline with some more injury updates, because Pete Carroll's talking at 150, but Jamal Adams has officially been ruled out.
Yeah, I mean, they have an elite player in Buda Baker, an elite player in Peterson is still healthy, is he not? There's no issue there.
Yeah, Peterson's still healthy, but they are missing Chandler Jones, who is their, sack getter. Yeah.
And they played well in spite of losing him, but again, have they really been tested going up with wins over what? Washington, San Francisco, the Jets, and the Cowboys without Dak? Yeah, I mean, it's kind of debatable. This will definitely, you know what, of all the big tests in the game from one side to the other, their defense against Seattle's offense is probably the biggest one. I think they're the ones with more to prove. Just on that comparison alone.
Yeah, both great points. I kept mine pretty boring. And it's kind of in line with you guys of where the weaknesses and strengths are for both teams, but I just went with both quarterbacks. What scares you about the Arizona Cardinals is Kyler Murray, specifically what he can do in the red zone. He is a threat in there. He has 6 rushing touchdowns in addition to his 10 passing touchdowns. He is an added weapon anywhere on the field, but especially lethal when you get inside the 20. Russell Wilson, that should scare the Arizona Cardinals. It should scare every team they face this year. They have plenty of other weapons. Yes, Bobby Wagner should be one of those guys. DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, Chris Carson, those should all be guys that make you nervous, but it's hard not to point to the 2 quarterbacks in this matchup. All right, this hour of Tom, Jake, and Stacey is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Seattle. Coming up next in the timeline, we've got our injury report. The latest updates there, Jamal Adams has officially been ruled out, but we've also got some sound on Jordan Brooks and Quentin Dunbar, so we'll get to that next. Plus, Tom, look, I'm sorry to go to this again. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. We got to talk about Danny Dimes tripping and falling again. It has to be done. I don't make the rules. We have to do it.
It's fine. I'm a big boy.
That's next on the timeline.
At ProClub.com. This is the timeline.
With Tom, Jake, and Stacey.
Brought to you by 1-800-DUIOA.
It's the timeline on Tom, Jake, and Stacey. We are reading you the top stories you're going to see on your own timelines. I'm going to get it started with some bad news bears. There's an injury report by the Seahawks. Jamal Adams has officially been ruled out. We got some updates on Quentin Dunbar, though, and Jordan Brooks earlier today when Carol spoke with Dave Wyman for an interview with our sister station, Cairo. So let's go to that right here in cut number 4.
Jordan Brooks has had a really good week of practice and was able to do a lot. Quentin's had partial work in practice. We'll have to wait and see. We have not been able to get Jamal back on the field yet. He's really close to being back. He's working really hard and doing everything he can possibly do. So there's guys on different schedules, and we'll just kind of have to wait the week out and see how it goes here.
So Pete Carroll's going to be speaking with reporters in about 5 minutes. We'll play you guys the latest updates and sound from that at 2 p.m. So we're going to get an update specifically on Quentin Dunbar, who sounds like he'd be closer to a game time decision. I do think it's important to note that the Seahawks injury report for Sunday only has Jamal Adams listed as out. No one's doubtful. And then Mike Iupati, your left guard, is the only person listed as questionable with a back injury.
Well, obviously, this is really positive when you talk about the rest of the team. It's unfortunate to see Jamal Adams be in the position that he is in. You hope that this is just only one more week, and we feel like we've been saying that the last couple weeks. This guy is extremely important to this defense, but I think the attitude that Pete Carroll and this group has had is maybe in a very cautious approach with all of these guys. Talking about the first 5-6 weeks of the season, he has repeatedly said, when we bring someone back at this point of the season, we want to be able to confidently say it is for sure. It is for real. We have confidence this player is going to be back fully. And I think that's important because a lot of other organizations would be forcing players to play and then put them in a position where they're battling this particular injury every single week for the rest of the way. And that's a tough, tough deal to go for any of these players.
Yeah, I don't want them out there unless they can contribute 100%, especially a guy like Brooks, who they don't need out there at the moment. Dunbar is a different case. They do. I mean, they need him out there. I don't want him to injure himself further to, lessen the possibility that he'd even be available down the line. I'd rather have him available down the line than right now. But, again, without Adams, it does weaken them. Here's the thing, though. And a lot of you may want to just, attribute this to luck. But they've had guys absent at different times, and they've still gotten it done. The big plays don't all come from one person. They come from all kinds of different people. They come from K.J. Wright, Wagner, DeMontre Moore, Benson Mayowa, Ryan Neal. The big plays that end up winning them these games, even Leno Hill and L.J. Collier on Cam Newton. You never know where that's going to come from. So when I look at who's out, I don't necessarily say, okay, well, this guy's out, therefore they have that much less of a chance to win. I try not to look at it that way, except when it comes to Jamal Adams, because I think he can really dictate the pace of a game.
And that's today's injury report brought to you by IRG Physical and Hand Therapy.
And what you just said there is really, really indicative of a great organization. I mean, Tom, for you to be able to sit there and say that, I mean, is incredible, because not every organization can, not every coaching staff can around the league, in the sense that a fan and a radio host and a media member could say, well, you have one of the all-time great safeties out, or you have, one of your starting players out, but I still have confidence in this group that they will find somebody who can get it done, who can make the big play. And they have shown that not just this year, but in multiple years throughout Pete Carroll's tenure in 10 years. And so, Tom, it's a great point that I think, really deserves a lot of credit to this coaching staff.
All right. And of course, we had to do it. We have to talk about Danny Dimes tripping and falling on a wide open touchdown run. I don't want to say it's like not pretty, because it brought me so much joy in a really sick, twisted way. We'll go ahead and play you the cut right here in cut three.
Jones keeps, gets a block, takes off, and he is gone. Trying to stay upright, and he trips. Absolutely all alone, and he trips. But a walk-in touchdown, and he tripped himself.
That would have been something like an 80-yard touchdown run for Daniel Jones. Turf Monster got him right before he made it into the end zone, and he falls over. I have to say, this was an incredibly relatable moment, because it's not that I'm necessarily, like, yes, am I laughing at Daniel Jones? Absolutely. But also, I've been in that moment, and we all have, where you do something that's so embarrassing that you like leave your body for a minute. Like, I on Twitter was talking to this about someone, or talking about this to someone, how when I was a freshman in college, I dislocated my elbow, and it was during an icebreaker activity my freshman year. So there are all these other students, and I fell, and we were playing like the floor is lava, like some kind of icebreaker activity for like team building, and my elbow popped out. Like, it popped out of the socket. It is currently dislocated. I felt nothing. Absolutely nothing, because I was so shy and so, not introverted, but I was so scared. I don't know any of these people. It's my first, like, it's like my second day being on a college campus, and I just very quietly was like, I think I broke my arm. And then they were like, we need to get you into an x-ray right now.
That's terrible.
Poor Daniel Jones.
Oh, man.
I remember one time when I was on the third grade, like on the blacktop or something like that.
Oh,
I ran straight into the basketball pole, which was steel. And I fell down and I was out of it. And my teacher got up in my face. She goes, "Tommy, are you okay?" I was like, "Yeah." "No."
That's exactly how kids
5 seconds. Yeah, to realize that, you know, A, it hurt, and B, my eye was swelling up like a balloon. Yeah?
I've got a pretty bad one, too. My freshman year high school was so pumped, excited to, you know, play my first high school game at the freshman level, and I was also the punter for the team at the time. And we were playing Bellevue, and this, you know, big rivalry, Skyline Bellevue, super hyped up for it. And it kicked the punt, and the guy catches it. He's returning it. Looks like he's going to, you know, I'm actually going to have to go make a tackle, right? So now I'm in a position, I'm in pursuit, and I go to make the tackle on the punt return, and he jukes me so bad that I end up literally breaking my ankle right then and there.
Oh!
Yes.
That's a nightmare.
It is a nightmare, man. And it hurt in the moment, and I knew exactly what happened, but I got up immediately and walked myself off despite the pain. Yes, I did not want anybody realizing that I had broken my ankle in that moment, and that was something that carried with me for 4 years in high school. Even after state championships, everybody still made fun of me. Never again would they let me punt the ball, and for good reason.
That's mortifying. He literally broke your ankles. I just have to say, I think that the three of us have established that, Danny, look, we get it. We feel for you. It's a hilarious moment. We will be watching on replay forever.
And they did score.
They did score.
Drive. It's not like they
eventually
them out of the
scored. Exactly. It right. worked out. But
no.
253 wants to know, hey, Jake, is there film of this? Just curious.
I'm pretty sure it was burned a long time ago.
All right.
There's no way it could be recovered. I'm almost confident of that.
Last story here. Hugh Jackson says a book about the Cleveland Browns will be a, quote, bestseller. Here's my question. What is he going to be revealing in this book that would make it so scandalous that it skyrockets? A book about the Cleveland Browns skyrockets to the top of the bestseller list.
I think he's saying that so that...
that people buy it?
People will buy it, and then they open up, read it, and they figure out there's nothing in
it. Well, I'm going to be incredibly disappointed.
Yeah. Well, here's... I personally don't have much interest in reading that. Second of all, I always have a strange feeling about people who say that they're going to write, like, a tell-all book. Like, when Tiger Woods' swing coach, I think it was Hank Haney, wrote a book about Tiger Woods, you know, warts and all. It's like, you know, Hank Haney is only relevant. The only reason why anybody's going to buy that book is because he was associated with Tiger Woods. You know, and you pay him back by writing a tell-all book. Who cares who Hugh Jackson is without his relationship to Baker Mayfield? You know what I mean? And he's going to, like, what, turn on him and reveal all these terrible things that Baker Mayfield may or may not have said just from his perspective. I mean, that's just kind of scummy.
Yeah,
it is scummy. It is scummy, and it's one of those things that I think with Hugh Jackson, his tenure didn't end well. There was a lot of controversy between him and the team, a lot of controversy between him and Baker Mayfield. I just think that if he is a coach that wants to get back into football, this is the worst thing that he could possibly do, and this also tells me that he is not going to return back to football, because once you do something like this, I mean, it better be the most juiciest, detailed stories, because you are not going to get another job in the NFL. No one is going to trust you at any moment now that you do something like this.
All right.
And you need to be – just one more quick thing. I'm sorry, Stacey. You need to be justified – in writing it. Like, if you're revealing that, you know what, up and down the Cleveland Browns organization, there's sexual harassment, there's all these terrible things going on, that would be one thing to be revealing and to shed light on something that needs it. But if you're just trying to make Baker Mayfield look bad, then that's just petty. That's just, there's no point. There's no societal benefit. Sorry.
All right. Coming up next, we've got Seahawks head coach Pete Carroll speaking from headquarters. We'll take you guys there to get some injury updates. That's next on Tom, Jake, and Stacey.